We're talking, obviously, with David Fox, ace magician. And, David, you've probably already sort of sussed out from the way the show's proceeding. We have legends on the Madrid Drive. I mean, Cameron Tilbury, obviously, Nashville, Anna Lewis.
Definitely,
in
yes.
The wonderful world of Jersey. And now a gentleman who's responsible for a tour which is just, quite frankly, amazing. It's Whitney, Queen of the Night. Mm. A whole heap of other things come out of Paul Roberts Productions. Paul is currently in Spain. We welcome the true legend, the all-round wonderful soul that is Paul Roberts. Paul, how are you?
I'm very well indeed. I'm sitting in the sunshine, as you said.
Yeah, well, Spain. Whereabouts in Spain are you actually connecting with us at this moment, Paul? Where are you?
I'm in Costa Blanca in Torrevieja, just having a few days break, but it's wonderful to talk to you.
Well, you've already answered one of those key questions, because I figure, you know, you're in the business of show. You never take things like breaks, etc. I thought there was some deal you were cooking up with respect to, I'm going to get Whitney Queen of the Night on the Costa Blanca. If it's the last thing I do, it's going to work through that. But, of course...
I'm trying.
You know, magical. It's just wonderful stuff on that. Have you ever worked with any magicians, Paul?
Yes, I've worked with a couple of... well, in the past, you know, I've worked with quite a few, but... Yeah, it's just been the days when we used to back them. We used to have a band that used to play loads of stuff like that, and then we used to play the music for them.
Now, Paul, if you're looking for something to actually do, and I address this to the listener as well, that's you, yeah, with that, and possibly in that particular car lane there, or over direct passenger side, either way, a stunning celebration of the music and life of one of the greatest singers of our time can only be referring to Whitney, Queen of the Night. Even if you weren't thinking about Whitney Houston as being somebody, oh, I don't know, this is a show, an award-winning production featuring a stellar lineup, delivering a powerhouse and performance, an unbeatable routine. Paul, I mean, I am almost speechless by Whitney, Queen of the Night. Share with us, why is this the must-go-to show, whatever part of the country you happen to be based in?
Well, I think the wonderful thing is you can sort of hear all of her arrangements that we did from her live performances. So the band is actually reproducing that sound. And the sad thing is, obviously, you can't see her anymore, which is very sad. She's one of the greatest singers of all time. And with Rebecca Freckleton, we hope that we've sort of found that person that could do it justice and come along and enjoy yourselves. The hits just keep rolling along and along, really.
You mentioned, of course, Rebecca Freckleton, who hopefully will be joining us on the show in the not-too-distant future. But as you said, you're working through a variety of things there. We're still having one or two sort of teasing challenges with respect to our studio computer in terms of where things are going. But, of course, do you have some of the tour dates there that you can share with us? Because I know Darlington's coming up in early June, but there are sort of lots of other things as this NetUK PRP presentation continues to sort of work its way. I mean, I use that, a powerhouse performance that delivers on every level. I thought they were describing one of your magical evenings, David Fox, and they could well have been. But in this particular routine, it's tour dates extraordinaire. So would you like to just share with us some of the sort of things that are coming through there? Or would you just say, just go to the website, queenofthenight.co. That's queenofthenight.co.
Yeah, I think the nearest one for you guys would be on the 4th, which is Darlington, which would be great to see everyone along there, really, because I think it went in late, so it would be nice to put a few people in there.
Well, you know, quite literally, it's going to be an outstanding sort of event. And in terms of the tour itself, it's quite a substantial and extensive tour. So people who might be listening to this in the East Midlands, would there be sort of areas there which you might sort of think, oh, it's worthwhile checking
yes,
out?
Yes, we're going to the Alexander Theatre, Birmingham, mm-hmm. which is a nice date, and that's in September. So people like to look on the website; they can see all the dates there. We've got several dates coming up in the future. If they can just go to queenofthenight.co.
And they will not be disappointed, is all I have to say. Paul, I mean, greater commitment to his shows is shown by no producer than to actually get online from Spain, from the Costa Blanca, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, the young lady who actually answered the telephone, perfect telephone manner, she's obviously just a little suspicious. Who are you? What? Who's this person? I don't know. But she did a cracking job. Delighted that you've got to have security, Paul. Let's face it, you know, the fans that get wind of the fact that Paul Roberts is on Spain, you could have all sorts of things working through on that basis. But it's been fantastic touching base, albeit briefly, with you today. I'll go back to those last two questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this evening?
It's been great, and I'm just about to go and have a nice barbecue now.
It's a tough life, but, you know, it's working through it. It's so routine. Whitney Houston, David Fox, any particular favourite Whitney tune that you think we should actually work at this particular stage?
Oh, she had a fantastic voice. Very sad what happened, of course, too. Well, but I really think you could pick any one of
so
the great...
So emotional.
It's over to you, Alex. You're the expert.
I mean, I'm thinking, I mean, we've obviously had a magical theme here.
I want to dance with somebody's
life of that. Do you think So Emotional would fit with a magically oriented show, Paul? Would that sort of work?
My favourite at the moment is How Will I Know? I'm going through several favourites, and this is the one that I enjoy the most at the moment.
Well, I think, as you are the producer, you have the droit de seigneur, as used to be said in medieval times. Not necessarily relating
to
your musical routine. Yeah, but you do. So I think it's only right that we actually go for Whitney Houston and How Will I Know? And will you return to us on the show and keep us appraised of how the show's going when you're back from Spain, Paul Roberts?
I would love to, and I think it'd be nice to arrange Rebecca to have a chat to you. That would be great.
I think that would work splendidly. Exactly so. We will work our way through it. And we must talk about some of those other fabulous productions that you're involved with as well, because they're very, very impressive. Here's Whitney. Happy trails, Paul. Or should we say, I don't know, buenas noches? Or,
that's very good.
We like to keep the international theme going. That's the key thing. Happy trails.
We're actually out trying to find a few theatres out here. We're trying to put a few dates.
Paul Roberts, or as we like to say, hasta la vista, Whitney.
Thanks, Alex.
Is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
When you get a Facebook post which says talking to the excellent Alex Left, you're going to Siren FM gang live in a few minutes to chat general geekery and SFX magazine's 20th anniversary, plus Paul Terry is the guest on after me. You get two book nerds in one listen. You can be only referring to an ace individual, a craftsmith extraordinaire when it comes to words, machinations, writing, and generally an all-round wonderful human being. It is Tara Bennett. Tara, how are you?
Hello, Alex. Thank you for that lovely welcome. How are you today?
Very good indeed. A little bit sad that you weren't able to join us last week for the Telefantasy and Society Symposium, the first ever that we actually had. But Richard Edwards did you proud, you know, as your duly deputised editor of SFX.
As always.
Yes. And it was nice to see that you liked some of our Facebook posts. So it was one of the reasons we had a kind of combination factor on last week's Midweek Drive of some pre-recorded material that worked through that, because, you know, I wasn't able to do a binary split. I couldn't be in two places at the same time. I know it's astounding, but it happens. Tara, you're currently...
Figure the cloning out. Why have you not cloned yet? Come on. Alex, I need you to learn how to clone so I can clone myself.
Well, listen, but Tara, if we were cloned, we'd be beside ourselves. Oh, well, never mind. Oh, well, never mind. It's just one of those strange send in the clone lines, effectively, but still, never mind.
Oh, he's on a roll.
Not as much as our ace magician, David Fox, of course. And I suspect, I don't know if you caught with Anna Lewis our earlier experience in terms of magic, but we tried, and amazingly, David pulled it off, a bit of live magic linking the island of Jersey with Lincoln. With indeed the whole human condition. David, I'm going to suggest we go one stage further now. We're going to actually try and connect with California via Tara Bennett and hopefully engage in some magic with respect to the power that is Tara DeLulo Bennett. So, Tara, are you up for this? Take part in some.
I am, sir.
There we are. Extra special routine. So, David, would you like to lead us into the. I'll do the introduction, but David Fox, formally introduce you to Tara Bennett, fantastic SFX editor for the United States of America, and indeed all round wonderful writer of so many fabulous books and texts. It's quite literally just amazing, you know?
Lovely, very interesting. And me and Alex had a very interesting chat earlier on today about. Science fiction life. And life in general,
physics,
very, very interesting. But you must be extremely busy, though, Tara, yourself.
I am, but yes. You know, it's always a treat to talk to you guys, and I feel like it's a little magic with me being able to talk to you about 7,000 miles away.
So, definitely,
and
yes.
It's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
It's a real privilege to be here tonight and be able to do that. What's it like over your way at the moment? In terms of, you guys are, in the weather-wise, is it
yes.
quite pretty hot over there at the moment?
California, in May?
It feels like English weather, proper English weather.
Mild.
You guys have a lovely day, and we have, it's chilly today. It's cool and no sun, all clouds.
Right.
Well,
unusual.
I'm very impressed to see that Nick Setchfield, is that the Nick Setchfield from SFX magazine, also likes the post that we're talking about, SFX 20th magazine? I think it's the first post Nick Setchfield has ever liked from this point
there
of view.
Go.
He's amazing. Yes. He's my amazing yes. features editor. Yes, he's been there for the long duration at SFX.
Absolutely. But, unlike yourself, Tara, and indeed Richard Edwards has not yet actually said, we have spoken, but not for many year, actually. It's an interesting line. So there we are. Just goes to show where the quality lies, you see. This is it. At the end of the day, Tara Bennett, she rules RWLS. Okay, let's move on to this magical piece. David, would you like to talk us through this little magical thing which we'll try to do with Tara Bennett to sort of work through that? So we can do a rerun of the piece we actually did, or is it once you've done one, you can't repeat it? What would you like to do, magically speaking? What trick
well,
would you
there,
like
there
to
is
do?
Something, it does take a little bit of a long time with regards to the thing with magic is a lot of it is very visual.
Right.
The magic I do with cards and things the audience can give me for to perform a little
and
bit
this
of
is the challenge,
magic.
Of course.
And, on the radio, as I suppose as my dad always says, I've got a good face for the radio, so it's it's good to be. But in terms of magic, do you quite often work with magicians yourself, Tara? Do you often?
I don't. Have the most respect for your profession. No, exactly. I don't.
But it's great. It's so popular these days with magicians being in the TV and people like David Blaine. And
it does.
I don't
think he's going to replicate the piece we did earlier with Anna from Jersey. I just thought that was a nice little one. We go back to, or is it just in case we need to back that? What I will say is, whilst David's thinking about or ruminating, apart from obviously considering the joys of the 20 years, it's amazing. I mean, SFX is almost as old as your good self, Tara. Almost, not quite.
Oh, goodness, almost. We'll say. Blessing for that.
Exactly. Good news from Penny Evans, our Buxton correspondent, that her gig was a success at the Hydro Cafe in Buxton. Well done, Penny. And we will be playing Rose of Summer, possibly not this evening. It's a bit tight to actually fit in, but probably by next week we will be certainly focusing on that as far as we're concerned. Favourite pieces from the 20th anniversary edition, because you've pulled out all the stops once again, you and the guys from SFX magazine, to celebrate 20 years of the world's number one production, basically. Any particular favourites from your own point of view, Tara?
Oh, gosh. No, I really just love the retrospective at all. I like that they pulled out our first cover so that we get to see where we've been and what we've been doing in the last, 20 years. And I think what really just grabs me is we really just have a really wonderful, collection of writers, from the editors that have been there, Dave Bradley, who has helped guide us for years and years and keep us on the print stands and keep us as popular and as really robust as we have been with our content, and Rich, who's taken it over and done such a wonderful job, and I love his every issue. There's always a picture with Rich, and we've done this before with Dave and beforehand. But Rich, I don't know, Rich has a little special spark in that they put him into pictures that are existing. So he might be in a Star Wars picture, or he might be in a Divergent picture, and I'm really loving the creativity of which we put Rich into things, and I love his masthead every issue, getting to see that. And then just in general, my colleagues' work, Nick Setchfield, as you said, he's been my features editor for 11 years at SFX, and I just love his turn of phrase, and I'm always reading, wonderful work by my peers that make me want to be a better writer. And I don't think that's a better thing you can ask for, is to just be with a collection of people that you respect so much and that love things as much, as nerdy as I do. And that just, it feels like a family of people that really love talking about pop culture and geek things and really exploring things that I didn't even know about some of my favorite things in the magazine. And that's why I love being part of this family.
And we can just press this button here.
I'm Dave Bradley from SFX Magazine, and you're listening to The Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
And he emerges as if by magic. It's astounding. Yeah, there we are.
He's our fearless leader.
Exactly. Fearless leader, Dave Bradley. If Richard's tuned in or accessing the podcast in any way, shape or form, it's okay, Richard. I haven't actually forgotten the piece we recorded last week. It's just we've been so, to use the vernacular, rammed between the end of Telefantasy Society, doing minor things, Tara, which I'm sure you appreciate, like marking students' work, scripts and various other bits and pieces. We haven't really had a chance to actually deconstruct any of the sort of prereqs that we're doing, but good things will be happening in every sense of the word. David has also said he's a keen Doctor Who fan. He also mentioned that he's seen SFX on the newsstands, but tends to go down more 40 in times. I'm thinking, don't do that. Other magazines are available, I know. But
yeah, I'll need to have a dip in. Certainly will. Yeah, it looks very interesting. Alex has given me a copy here, so I definitely need to have a little dip
into
that. Yes,
us a little try, a little read.
You can't beat a recommendation.
Always has something. Yes, we always have something Whovian inside there, so you will enjoy it.
I'm sure I will. Thank you.
In so many ways, I feel a bit like sort of one of those Jesuit priest sort of conversions, basically, a missionary sort of spreading the word of SFX across the land sometimes. But, you know, life continues.
Bless you, Brother Alex. Thank you.
Well, and this is before we even get into Cellescape. Yes, we've got some Cellescape tracks from again Paul Roberts, because not Paul Roberts, from Paul Terry. Double Paul on the show today. No, that's Belinda Carlisle. That's not Cellescape. It's a different thing entirely. Multitasking, because Tara, we haven't really spoken about, obviously, the fact you combine your academic work and your teaching work with your writing work and so on. So just share with us some of the kind of highlights you've been doing over the month of May so far.
Oh, it's been a busy one. I, too, am grading finals. It was our finals week as well at Rowan University, where I teach, so I have a very large pile of things to read, and I'm also starting teaching in another week a new class, writing for television, that I've been doing for years. But other than that, it's been a busy month. We just finished, Paul Terry and I, who's your next guest, The Art of Sleepy Hollow, which will be a lovely coffee table book that features all of the behind-the-scenes work of the creature characters and the production design, and we have some really amazing, amazing stuff for fans to see, and that'll be out in October. So we just put that pretty much to bed in terms of, you know, we'll take a look at some of the spreads and make sure everything is finished, but that's pretty much done. That was May, right at the beginning of May, and otherwise I've been doing a lot of features for SFX. I just talked to the showrunner for Dominion, which is a TV show that is aired both in the US and the UK.
But Tara, you are an angel. You know, you are an angel with that. So when you start talking about Dominion and the angels coming through there, surely it's a case of you'd be interviewing yourself then.
I hope I'm not an archangel.
No. Well, you see.
But Dominion, yeah, I just talked to that wonderful showrunner, Vaughn Wilmot, and he gave me some juicy things for the next issue, and we also are covering Falling Skies, which finishes this summer, which I talked to one of the directors and the producers, and that'll be in the next issue as well.
And yet, you say that shows finish, and that's the part of the joy of the SF routine. In many ways, okay, they may not live as long as perhaps they originally anticipated, or their showrunners or the creators thought they would, but they will always live in our hearts. And I say that
and
over...
It's true, and I love that some shows now at least get an ending. You know, for those of us that have, you know, our sci-fi gets cut off at the knees, you know, the Firefly of the world and the many other shows that didn't get to finish their story, it's been nice lately that shows that have been on for a couple of years at least get the opportunity to finish so we get an end to
exactly.
The story, which is one of the worst things for fans when we have to sit there and go, I wonder what would have happened. So, yes. Good for Falling Skies for making it to five.
Precisely. Tara, we have a question from the legend that is Penny Evans, which I suspect is going to be a case of... I mean, I'm always tempted to use the phrase no-brainer. But, you know, I'm not going to sort of prejudge your answer, Tara, because you might come out of left field and surprise us. The question is follows. So, is SFX going to cover the big news about X-Files coming back? Filming begins in June, and it's in wonderful Vancouver. Penny is so excited to be going back there on the 22nd. So, I don't know, would he be bothering with that X-Files thingy? Or would he just say, nah, it's so 20th century. We're in the 21st now.
Kind of. Daisy? Yeah, of course. We already mentioned it, and we'll be hopefully getting even deeper coverage of it. As you said, June, they go back to production. They'll be shooting until August. It's for a shorter series that will be running in 2016, which is so exciting. And it's so nice to have the original, of course, Mulder and Scully, and have a lot of the supporting cast coming back, and as well as just having the creative crew come back too. So I think that's one of the great highlights already of 2016 that's looming in front of us.
And I think that's something, again, you put your finger on the pulse, quite literally there, of the tale, Tara, because I know you were deeply stunned with the fiasco that became the, is David Lynch signed up for Twin Peaks? Is he not signed up for Twin Peaks? And you think, well, it may be the same, but it's going to be... Is it? You know, I mean, it is problematic when sometimes you have that original team together. Case in point, last week when, as we found, one of the things with the first ever Thunderbirds movie, well, no, actually not the first ever, but the Jonathan Frakes incarnation of the Thunderbirds movie, where they actually make the movie and they don't even consult Gerry Anderson, who's got an office literally three doors along from Pinewood. I mean, what? Please. You know, not good.
I know. It's very sad. It's sad when you have, you know, obviously there's so much rebooting that's being done nowadays, but, you know, when you're going to make something for fans that they love, Twin Peaks, X-Files, you know, even this week, Gem and the Holograms, which was an 80s cartoon that so many people of our generation adored, they're coming out with a new movie that looks nothing like the storyline that people love. And it's like, why would you do that? If you're trying to honor, you know, the fandom that wants to see it and pay money to go see it, why, like Thunderbirds or Gem, would you go, we're going to kind of ignore all of the history of it and just do something new, which, you know, it's not good for your bottom line.
It's like trying to do a midweek drive without any midweek driver. It's ridiculous. Or without Tara Bennett. It's just,
exactly.
What's going
to happen?
It's not going to be the same. You know, smiley face is the response from Penny Evans. Smiley emoticon. She would like to say, thanks, Tara. Big exclamation mark. So there we are.
Tell her we got her covered. We promised for her.
And that is why, David Fox, the midweek drive is more social work as well as entertainment. You know, we keep those X-Files fans, you know, with a P-H-I-L-E-S, you know, solidly connected with the whole
thing. Yes, yeah, quite right.
Any questions you'd like to put to Tara Bennett from your own perspective, David, about life, the universe, and indeed matters SF?
Well, maybe, Tara, what was it that got you involved in this? You're obviously quite a big science fiction fan. Has it always been that case? Even as a child, did you were you watching science fiction right from the onset?
It was. I was one of those strange little girls that hated dolls. I wanted nothing to do with them. And when I saw my first Star Wars action figure, my eyes got big and excited. And I was the kid that, when she did well in her grades, would ask for a pack of Star Wars cards.
I was
a little strange one. And then had posters of sci-fi movies and books in my room. And yeah, I used to read Starlog, which was, I like to think, the kind of forefather of SFX magazine, and I pour over that every month and, you know, look at the names and bylines and that. I never really thought it would be my career, and then it is, and that's a shocking thing, and I'm so grateful for it that I get to talk about the stuff that I've loved since I was a kid.
Yeah, you talk about the old Star Wars cards as well. Brings back fond memories from those days. It just seems like yesterday, but time flies.
As we know.
Did you collect them?
I did, actually, yes. Yes, I did, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
And time
your brother in another country, so we'll have to, if we ever meet, we'll have to
swap. compare collections, yes.
And as we will constantly say, time is just an illusion, which is phenomenal in every sense of the word.
Ooh. Now you know what you play us both off with? The song from the end of the FX movie, Just an Illusion. Oh, see if you can find that one in the... That's a deep cut.
But let's see in terms of... I mean, I was going to go Cellarscape, actually, for fairly obvious reasons, but, you know, you mentioned Just an Illusion. We've got Imagination and Just an Illusion. I mean, that would be sort of... That's the more sort of funky 1970s, let's get down and do it. So 70s, 80s, yeah, did you get this? Yeah. So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Tara Bennett?
Oh, wonderful as always. Thanks for having me.
And are you back with us again in the very near future? Probably early in June?
Whenever you like me, I will be there.
Hey. What a perfect way to actually interconnect with co-author, it has to be said, of so much great material. It's quite, I mean, in fact, it was only a matter of days ago I found by the side of my bed up in Middlesbrough a copy of Once Upon a Time, the fantastic Titan Publications guide, written, of course, by Tara Bennett and Paul Terry. Once Upon a Time, it's magic in its own way. Paul, welcome back to the production. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, Alex. Thank you for having me back on the show. It's lovely to be back.
A genuine delight as ever. And as we said to Tara, we're just a little bit sad you weren't able to make the first ever Telefantasy and Society event last week. But it was good and it was fun. And I'm sure you'll be all set for Telefantasy and Society 2, which may be taking place probably sometime in 2016. So there we are.
Yeah, it will be great. Yeah, it's been a bit of a, as Tara was saying, a bit of a crazy time with various projects that we've been doing together and individually. So very sorry not to have made it, but glad to hear it was a huge success. And it feels very, very cool to be continuing the chat after my frequent collaborator just been talking to you live on air, and then we segue through that song, which is an amazing song. That's such a great song. Great choice from a great film.
That's because it's a great show, he says. Because of guys like yourself that actually make it. I mean, you know, it's David Fox's first ever midweek drive. So, you know, David, enjoy and savour the experience because you can never really go
definitely,
back on this.
Yes, it's great to be here.
Having said that, the Naked Time episode of the original Star Trek television series, and you can live those last 3 days all over again if you actually sort of engage in the, you know, backwards in time. You know, if you get the antimatter mix sorted through. We did a piece a couple of weeks ago, of course, the sad demise of Grace Lee Whitney, another member of the original crew. Actually paid tribute to the original Yeoman Rand, of course. I say the original because there hasn't been a replacement Yeoman Rand, but she's up in the wonderful cosmos, probably listening to Cellarscape stuff, it has to be said, Paul. Listen, Paul, music, writing, so many marvellous things that are actually there. I mean, do we describe you as a Renaissance man, or is that just something sort of completely different? I mean, you know, I see now The Act of Letting Go nominated for Best Eclectic Album at the 14th Independent Music Awards. I mean, it just gets better and better with Cellarscape.
Oh, that's very lovely of you to mention that, Alex. It's been a crazy time recently, and that particular bit of news that's happened is just feels really great. It's very surreal. It's very odd because it's an awards sort of ceremony and collective that I've been aware of for many years, and really respect the fact that the IMAs are all about supporting independent artists. So to get that email through some weeks ago was very, very strange indeed. But I think I read it about 8 times, then went, oh, is this is real, right? Okay, this is actually happened. This is a nomination. But the Best Eclectic Album categories feels particularly nice because it's, I guess subconsciously it's a word that I like to try and, you know, move towards with this kind of project, because it's not a straight pop record. It's not a straight, you know, rock record. I try to make sure there's some different kind of sounds that go through the soundscape of Cellarscape. So it's almost like they gave me the best category for a nomination, so I'm very grateful for that.
And this is something which certainly does tend to emerge as an aspect in its own field, really, when we start coming in terms of the way that things use. I mean, I'm turning to yourself, David, because the soundtrack to The World of Magic is fairly critical. I mean, do you use a soundtrack? Because, I mean, you said you do have a lot of performances at weddings. I mean, you were the performance for... share with us when you were performing for royalty. Was it Her Majesty the Queen that you're performing for?
It was the flotilla celebrations. I was on board one of the boats that day, and it was lovely to be part of that. That was close-up magic.
Wow.
But some performers do choreograph performances to magic. I've done that in the past myself with the art effect using linking rings to music, but it is a lovely thing to do, to combine magic and music is a fantastic thing. But obviously I've got a lot of respect for you guys with what you do, Paul, and excuse me, frog in my throat, yeah.
You see, there's just no end. I mean, I thought it'd be a rabbit, but no, it was a frog.
Frog,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that. Alex, you are straight out the gate as always. You are a very sharp man.
Well, I'm just thinking, last night I was thinking a little bit at a loose end. I thought I'd use one of those sites to actually not just download, but actually purchase a couple of Cellescape tunes. Amazing.
Mm. Oh, you're very kind.
No, it's outrageous. And I came up with a couple of classics. One was called Repeat, Erase and Unite. Actually, it's just
we are talking
early 21st century here, in case you're listening to this via the medium of time travel from somewhere in the 24th century. You might be, we don't know. You know, it's all out there, or possibly as the FM frequency is beamed out, maybe the earth is simply uninhabited by the time you're actually listening to this. We might have gone elsewhere. Might be nobody at home. It might have gone beamed out into the universe. Either way, welcome, citizens of the universe. The alternative is Pulse. And I'm going to ask you, Paul, of those two, from, of course, a classic album, I suppose really classic EP of early Cellescape, which one would you think we should actually put to David Fox as a possible thought experiment? Because the thing is, I'm going to ask David, as he listens to this, to kind of think, well, I might work with that. I might work with that. This is what I kind of do a routine to. It might be linking rings. It might be dealing with frogs into rabbits, rabbits into frogs. It might be sort of various. I'm just sort of thinking, let's start building that original music video live on air now with the soundtrack. So, Paul, as the creator, which one? Pulse, Repeat, Erase, Unite? They're both interesting.
Oh, it's very difficult. I think, well Pulse has got a very, very long intro, which starts from complete silence and doesn't get going for a good minute.
It's very true. Yes.
I would say probably Repeat, Erase, Unite also had a slightly stranger, swirlier quality to it, which would maybe suit magic better. Listen, that makes sense in my head.
David Fox is a 14 times a reader, so I mean, obviously, Strange is his middle name. In fact, quite literally, on his birth certificate, it's David Strange Fox. It's amazing. It's like by the power of the omnipotent Oshtia and the Vashanti. We'll be back with you in a few moments. This is Cellescape. Repeat, Erase, Unite.
Your thirst, flood the gates wide open. Too high to know the sky. Glass fractured, a safety mesh not suited for tonight. Seeing it exactly as you expected, tied to the arm of the crescent tonight.
Personally, I'd sign up the copyright issues straight away, actually, for that particular one, David, when your series actually starts on television across the world. But what did you make of the Cellescape Repeat, Erase?
Excellent, yes, thoroughly enjoyed that. Who are your influences, Alec? Paul, who are your influences? Who kind of would you say your main influences
are? Yes, Paul Terry, who are your main influences? Is it Dave Milley? Is it that time that you spent at university? What's happening here?
Well, aside from the entire crew of Siren FM over the years, of course, I think it's always a tough question to answer, just because there's literally hundreds of artists which I really enjoy listening to in their work. I'd say that it's kind of an eclectic sort of broad spectrum of stuff that's rock based and pretty heavy in some respects.
I thought that it kind of reminded me a little bit of Tool. You like the band Tool?
Oh, blimey! No, that's a huge compliment.
Yes, I was kind of thinking carefully because as the track progressed, I really enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed listening to that. But towards the end, there, I thought I would say that to you. I was very fortunate to see them on a couple of occasions.
Really? Yes. Oh, I've not seen them live yet, but I know they're a fantastic band. But,
yes.
Thoroughly
enjoyed
stuff
it.
Like Tool.
And there is
Thank you so much.
There's a different mystical,
like
kind of mystical side to the music as well, which I really enjoy. So something different there, you know, something you can take away from the track and you remember. It resonates, if that makes sense.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, that, to be honest, that's that when you do any music, I think that's the best thing you can hope for is for somebody to listen to it. And as you use that word there, for something to resonate within you, because...
Yes.
I think that once you've written a song, especially when you've released a song, it's not really yours anymore. It's for people to adopt and to, you know, make their own and to then just make it mean something to them. So it's irrelevant what I ever talk about in terms of the lyrics or what the song means to me, because it's more important what it means to you or the listener. So thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's quite a tricky track to be the first example of Oscilloscope that you've heard. So if you enjoyed that, then that's cool. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's lovely to be here tonight and a privilege.
We had complete confidence in your work, Paul, you know. So we have been asked by a fantastic co-creator of the universe that we should ask you about, and this is Paul Terry, of course, we should ask you, Paul, about being in Derren Brown's latest show a few weeks ago. What were you doing in Derren Brown's latest show a few weeks ago, Paul Terry?
Well, that's very surreal that you've got that intel, and it feels quite magical that you've got that intel. I would say my answer to that is the same. My answer to that is exactly what on earth happened? How on earth did I end up in Derren Brown's show? And I will say that I am completely sworn to secrecy, and I respect the show itself. I would say that because
it's as bad as asking a magician to repeat the same routine consecutively without realizing you could actually cause the universe to collapse in on itself by doing so. Lord above!
What I love about Darren's work is that, especially when he does these tours, he always says to the crowd, I've seen him a few times live now, and he says to the crowd at the end of the show, he says, please, you know, don't discuss any of the tricks, keep it secret for people who come and watch the show. But I will say that the moment where, you know, he throws like frisbees or teddy bears or balloons out into the crowd to select people at random, because it is at random. Anyone listening who thinks, oh no, it's stooges and things, I'm living example that it is completely random, because he threw this frisbee and he said the kind of he's looking for a man for the trick and like a rough, you know, like an age range. And I was thinking, oh, well,
better than looking for a trick for the man, Paul. That's all I can say.
And the frisbee literally was gliding towards my face, and I didn't even move anywhere from my seat. I just put my hand up to stop the frisbee hitting me in the face. And as I caught it, you know, that whole thing where life slows down, and he's like, great, bring yourself down. And I thought, oh, this is happening. This is actually happening. So I will say that it was an incredible trick, and I will never forget it. It was an amazing experience. So, but I will say that also, yes, how did I end up in the show? It was a completely surreal experience, but amazing.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, Paul Terry, that frisbee had your name on it, as they used to say in various sort of experiences. And wouldn't we
in very existential terms?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, wouldn't it be a lot happier if we could actually sort of speak to all the generals and the battalions around the world and say, look, forget bullets having people's names on it. You know, frisbees. Does that frisbee have your name on it? That's what it's all about.
Well, the thing is the great thing about Derren as well, and I'm sure, you know, your guest there, who's a magician as well, will agree if he knows of his work. But Derren's stuff never just about the magic stuff. What's so great about it is it has a poignancy to it. It genuinely has. It says something important. It says something interesting. So it's not just about going, ta-da, look at this great trick. You genuinely leave a live show or when you finish watching one of his TV specials thinking, you actually think about what you've watched. You think about that's quite important, those kind of issues that have been brought up. And I infuse with huge volume 11 amps for everyone to go and see Miracle on tour, because it really is, it is pretty damn miraculous as a show, and you won't forget it. It's an amazing show.
And there we have it.
I don't work for him. That's just me using it.
It's perfectly acceptable to actually eulogise when eulogies are actually appropriate. As you know, I always like to say, shall we do some radio magic? Literally this evening, we are. That's what it's all about. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Paul Terry?
I had a wonderful time, as always. Thank you so much, Alex.
And so I take it you'll be back with us before too long, at least telephonically speaking.
I would love to. Thank you.